Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN, F-U-N. Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Dan Wyke, Orange County Register, the Clippers beat writer, in my opinion. How's it going?
I'm good. You know, I made it out of Staples Center without getting dunked on last night or scored on. So
not many people had that distinction of not getting dunked on or scored on last night. That was atrocious.
Yeah, it was one of those games. I'll give the Clippers credit for keeping it watchable by just how well they played. For me at least,
yes.
You know, they were still doing things. Like, there was still basketball being played pretty much into, like, midway through the fourth quarter, I thought. Because it's weird, before we start getting into the goofy part about it, there were valuable things that happened in that game for the Clippers long term. Primarily, I thought, getting Danny Granger and Glenn Davis on the court for extended periods so they could kind of accelerate the process of getting to know the guys they're playing with. And I thought that was important, and that's going to be important because this is crazy, Zach. This team never practices. Like, they just – Iverson would have loved them. Like, they never practice. And Doc Rivers, like, the way he puts it, he's like, if I have to choose between a guy's head and a guy's legs, I'm going to choose his legs.
Yeah.
So, you know, they took today off. They play again on Saturday. Today is not a back-to-back or anything. They came off a short road trip from Phoenix, but, you know, they're going to take the day off. And so, yeah, getting those minutes for those guys, it's important. And, getting minutes for Reggie Bullock, you know, who looked really good last night,
is
important. The flip side of all of this was, the Lakers, man. That's rough.
That is right. I mean, that does seem to be the news of today. The loss was so bad that, like, I think halfway through the fourth quarter, one of my editors emails me. He's like, "Hey, we should have a post on this." I was like, "Really? Because of the loss?" He's like, "Yeah, this is really bad. Like, the fact that this is to the Clippers and in Staples," and he's like, "This is a rock bottom." I was like, he convinced me. I was like, "Yeah, you're right. Like, we should." So I wrote up, 400 or 500 words on it, and it was just I felt like I was writing the Lakers obituary for the next, like, or their eulogy for, like, the next 3 years. Like, it just felt it felt really bad.
Yeah, it was, it's the worst loss in Laker history and the biggest one in Clipper history.
Right.
Which is, like, you know, kind of a weird intersection. And the fact that, this is a crazy little nugget for you. That's the third time the Clippers have set their margin of victory record this year.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, because they had the Sixers one. They had the Sixers. Who was the other one?
The Chicago Bulls.
Oh, that's right.
Early in the year, that right after the Rosen, they beat them by 39. So it's the third time they've done it, and that's a team. I don't want to say the Clippers like revel in embarrassing teams, but at times it looks like they revel in embarrassing. they would never admit that, but I mean, like, I think what they want to do is they want, especially because early in the year they struggled with this at times, is they want to get into a game. They want to put their foot down and finish a team off. And they did that early to the Lakers, and probably, in my opinion, the most impressive stretch, if you're trying to kind of gauge where the Clippers are at mentally, is the start of the second half, I don't know how much they were up, 30 or something like that,
yeah.
I feel like. They come out, they press, first possession, and they force a turnover. The Lakers don't get it. I don't think they move 5 feet from the end line before the Clippers score again. They go 6-0 in the first 45 seconds of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And really, there was a moment where Wes Johnson, after all of that, like, he looked like he was, like, literally shell-shocked, like, on the court, like, looking around. Like, he didn't know what to do. Like, they should have played that, like, sad music they play, like, in war movies.
Yeah.
And there's, like, wreckage everywhere and stuff. Like, that's what it looked like.
They have that, like, that high-pitched piercing sound after, like, a grenade's gone off and a guy's just looking around.
just that bewildered look on his face, and like he doesn't know what he's looking for, his gun, his radio, or whatever. Yeah, that's what it was like. It was crazy.
Yeah, that it was really like it was a thing where it snuck up on me. I mean, I wasn't really paying attention that much. I was just like kind of, I was doing other stuff as I was watching the game. I had it on the background. Oh, I know what I was doing. I was preparing to go on Leadoff on CBS Sports Network every night at 11 o'clock Eastern, and with the fantastic Doug Gottlieb and Ali LaForce. So I was preparing to go on that, and so I just like I would wait for the crowd to react, and then I would like you know kick back on the DVR a little bit and kind of see what happened. But so I looked up, and all of a sudden it was a 25-point game in the second quarter. I was like, "Where have I been? What happened?"
Yeah, well, probably doing push-ups to make sure you look swole.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I do push-ups.
And I was going to say, I'm imagining. I mean, how do you prepare? Do you get like one of those like workout balls and do some core work? Do you stretch?
Well, I do. I definitely stretch. That's a staple of mine. I stretch, and then they sent me these like LED lights to like give better lighting in the apartment. So I had to like set those up. I had to set up my microphone. What else did I do? I had to like put product in my hair. I had to put like a nice shirt on. I still didn't have pants on, which was great. That's the nice part about doing TVs. You never have to have pants on.
I know. I once did it with the terrific. I once did Jim Rome show, which you've been on.
Yeah, we're like a fraternity now.
I know. With the terrific Jim Trotter, and he did it in Florida State basketball shorts.
Amazing.
The shirt and the tie. Awesome. Now, so let me ask you this real quick, and then we get back to basketball.
Yeah.
Did you do makeup? Did you wear makeup?
No makeup. I blotted myself with a toilet paper or a tissue or something like that, just to
try to reduce the shine.
Try to get the shine off a little bit. But when I was on Rome, there was a lot of shine. The camera guy.
You look like an angel. That's how much shine that was.
That's kind of the look I usually go for, just in general.
Angel.
Yeah, a bearded monocled angel. But there was like a makeup station when I went to do Rome because I was at some random, kind of felt like a guy's apartment that was quote unquote a studio. But there was like a makeup.
Did he ask you to pose for pictures?
Well, he had this really like Louisiana, like French Louisiana accent. So the entire time I was just reenacting scenes in my head of Hard Target. Like I was just like, all right, at some point they're gonna hunt me. Like I'm gonna be the game. I'm gonna be the, you know, they're gonna be the predator. Like I just was waiting for like a team of like Navy SEALs to jump in and hunt me for fun,
for sport.
Yeah, just for sport, for the thrill of it all. So I was waiting for that to happen. That never happened, fortunately. So I was just like in this guy's home, and there was a makeup station. And I was like, "Do I need makeup?" And he's like, "If you want it." I was like, "Do you put it on?" And he just like laughed at me. Like didn't even give me an answer. He just laughed at me and then went to like set up the camera.
Yeah. So after doing some, not to brag, but I do TV pretty frequently.
Look at you, TV star. I mean, you were in a commercial.
Monday and Tuesday on CBS Sports Center. I'll be on the Jim Rome.
All right.
Talking all sorts of stuff. Anyways, so. I won't do it with no makeup. Like obviously Rome, like they've got someone there, terrific makeup artist, so do their best to make me look presentable. But I did it once. I did the Rome show for the first time for like a week, and they make you look great, give you a little bit of color, make sure, you know, that your hair is good and all that good stuff. Then I did a local TV, a local news, like sports show, whatever, like a Sunday afternoon thing. And they did not have a makeup artist there. And I went on, and I looked like I was like, you know, when a person is like transitioning to like a zombie.
Yes.
On a show.
Yes.
I looked like I was in the transition.
You had like a gray eye socket.
Yeah,
sort of look.
Just sweating. I looked super sick. It was, and like here's the thing, like I walked out the house that day feeling I looked in the mirror and said, "You're looking pretty handsome."
Yeah.
And then you see yourself on TV and you're just like, ugh.
When you look at yourself in the mirror and you say you're looking pretty handsome, do you say it out loud or is that an internal thought?
It depends. It depends if I need to hear it.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So that my advice next time is, you know, have your girl or somebody come by and make you look.
I should probably do that. Well, it's different for you though. You're in Southern California. You're a beat writer. You're in television now. You're a svelte, sports reporter with tanning and everything. Like, this is your look. Like me, I'm just an NBA blogger. Like, I need to be as pale as possible. I need to keep up the appearance and the stigma.
I was going to say, you do have a stigma. So you need to look like you've never been, like... So when people make that lame basement joke at you...
Right.
Like, you need to look like, seriously, literally, you've been chained in your mother's basement.
What I should do is, every time I'm on TV, fly my mom out here and just have her in the background, like, making macaroni and cheese or something. Like, that's what I should
macaroni!
Do.
Screaming down the steps at you.
Like, Mom, I'm on TV!
He's like, hold on.
Sorry, guys.
It could be expensive.
That would be expensive. Yeah, but we'll see. Someday. I think that's the plan someday. What were we talking about? Oh, this is what I want to ask you about.
Basketball.
Yeah. Some news and notes, and today's news and notes segment is brought to you by Squarespace.com. The Clippers have signed, over the last week or two, Danny Granger, Big Baby Davis. That's to go with a support unit of, let's say, Jared Dudley and Matt Barnes and Jamal Crawford and J.J. Redick. Like, you wrote this in for the OC Register today. Like, this is some serious depth for this team that could really become, like, a thing as they march on, you know, looking for a title.
Yeah, and you know, I think the difference between their depth this year and their depth last year when, you know, they would roll the ball out to start the second quarter with the bench unit and kind of expect them to go put a hurt on a team, you know, is that this group has been more designed to, like, fill in when someone gets hurt.
Right.
And this team, because, you know, the Clippers have had, a fair amount of injuries this year. You know, they missed Chris Paul for a big chunk. They've missed Redick for two big chunks of time. Jared Dudley was a starter. He's hurt right now. So they came into last night's game, you know, obviously without their main core. I mean, compared to the Lakers, like, they're still, I mean, they're in pretty good shape.
Right.
But the, but for them kind of, you know, to Darren Collison, like, you know, started at shooting guard. And he's a guy who started at point guard this year, and he was the leading scorer last night. He had a huge impact on the game. You know, Glenn Davis is a guy that if something were to happen to DeAndre Jordan, like, for instance, last night, early foul trouble, Glenn Davis is there. He comes in and he changes the game defensively. You know, that's probably one of the things you missed was, like, I think he took a charge in the early second quarter that kicked off, like, a 14-0 run. Like, one of the early plays where he just stepped in, he erased the basket, and it kind of, like, deflated them.
Yeah.
And it gave the Clip some life. So they have, like, the pieces there that, you know, if Redick, for instance, like, no one really knows when he's going to come back.
So what's like, the injury? Like, what's keeping him?
A bulging disc in his back.
Okay.
So, and this has had, listen to JJ talk about it, it's had, like, an effect on, like, nerve endings in his lower, like, leg, ooh, or in his upper leg.
Thanks.
Where he called it, like, noodle leg early, which is, I think, a super technical Duke term.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, where it felt like wasn't getting kind of like, it wasn't firing right. It's kind of the way he described it. And he's been shooting, which is, you know, every time I tweet about it, people are like, is he playing tonight? And the feeling is, you know, him shooting is better than him not shooting, because
right,
he wasn't shooting for multiple weeks. But whether or not he comes back, I don't think they know. And you know, it's one of those injuries that it feels better some days it feels worse. And they don't really have a huge handle on it, but that being said, not that it's ideal, but this is a team I think that can win without him. They've proven that they can in the regular season. I think they can win the playoffs without J.J. Redick. You know, they've got Jamal Crawford's had the best season of his career. Like all around, he's never played his basketball this good. He's been...
It seems like Doc Rivers has just had a fantastic effect on him.
Yes, 100%. And, I mean, this is a guy who played really well last year, too, but he's more engaged defensively. He's more engaged as a playmaker. He's fit in as a starter. He's, even though he'd prefer to come off the bench, just because that's what he's more used to, he's he's accepted every challenge that's been put in front of him, and he's met it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the scary injury, was when he strained his calf, I want to say a week ago or something like that, that he heard a pop, and he told people he heard a pop. I remember talking to him that night, and he was worried. And there were Clipper people that were really worried that he was going to be out a long time.
Yeah.
And he's going to be back soon, you know, probably one of the next two games. And that's a huge, that's a huge bullet there. But they can absorb these things because they've got so many guys. Like, I don't know that Granger's going to end up making a huge impact on this team or not, but he's there. And he's a guy who can play well for a short stretch if necessary. And I think that's where their depth is going to carry them in the playoffs. It's like, if a guy gets hurt, if a guy gets in foul trouble or something like that, they've got a guy they can plug in. It's not the kind of Vinny Del Negro almost line change type of mentality.
Right.
You know, I don't think that'll be the case with them.
Yeah, I don't see, I mean, just from watching Granger this year with Indiana and knowing the injury history, I don't see him being a consistent guy for them, but I think we could all like see him having this amazing half, some key game in the playoffs where he earns them a victory, and if that's all you get out of him, that's an incredible signing. Because it's so low risk.
No, and you know who else can do that for him, and this is gonna make your heart happy, is Hito Turkoglu.
Hito, I have to say, I really enjoyed watching Hito pretend to give a damn about defense last night in a 40-point game. I mean, he was like, he would like turn and then lunge himself at a closeout that you could tell he was really just trying to make sure he didn't fall over. I mean, that was really a fun thing. Like, there was a 3-minute stretch where I just watched him on defense and help. I didn't even watch the ball, and it was one of the best times I've had this season.
Like, let's assume that here's a guy, too, who's gotten more comfortable as, like, he's played for them.
Yeah.
And he's already had, I don't want to say he's won them games, but he's had positive impacts on them multiple times because, you know, he's a really, people forget, he's pretty good at basketball.
He's very talented. He's just, when's the last time you think he did a sit-up? Like, 2009?
He's not in that bad of shape, though.
No, he looks like, he might be, okay.
He's not doughy.
I do need to ask you about two players because I'm wondering if TV just makes it look worse than it actually is, because I've had questions from people like, oh my god, how out of shape is Shabazz Muhammad? And then I see him in person, I'm like, no, he's actually in really good shape. He's barrel chested, so it makes it look like that on TV, but like looking at him in person, like he's really slimmed down. And I wonder, is Hito that way? Does he look out of shape in person? And then Big Baby with a blue jersey last night, he kind of looked like the ocean to me. And so I just need to know, like, it might just be the camera playing tricks on my mind. You're there. Like, what do these two guys look like?
He is huge. is one of the biggest people. But it's not, again, it's now. Here, it's funny. So, before the game, like, Chris Paul had brought, like, some food or whatever for Big Baby to eat. Maybe from one of his restaurants or something like that. One of his favorite restaurants. And Big Baby, in the middle of the line, was like, don't worry about me missing a meal. he got up, middle of our conversation, went to go eat. And, like, but he, again, like, he doesn't, it's almost like, you know how, like, when you get, like, when you think of, like, fat dads?
Yeah.
It's, like, their gut. It's their gut.
Right.
That, like, hangs out of, like, their shirts. Like, he's not a gut guy, though. He's, like, it's, like, he's almost the opposite in terms of, like, his chest is bigger than his stomach.
Yeah, he's kind of, he's sense. Built like a silo.
Yeah, he's a truck.
Yeah.
That guy is huge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, isn't, like, I don't know. Like, he just looks like a guy. I mean, he looks like Hito Turkoglu, but, like, he's just a guy, though. Like, he's not. It's weird. That's funny. When he was, when he played the last Sunday game, so they wear these light blue sleeved uniforms. And some people hate him. I think the shorts are awesome.
Yeah, I like the shorts a lot.
He looks awesome. He was, like, made to play in sleeves.
Okay.
Like, he looked looked like a tennis player. Like, he had a good kind of, like vibe to him. He had, like, low-top shoes on with, like, short socks.
Maybe he just has disappointing shoulders. Maybe that's what makes him look so out of shape with a regular jersey on.
I feel like we're in, like, one of those, like, after-school sorority specials, like, where we've got him walking the table and we're circling all his flaws.
We're just using a magic marker to like, you need to change this and this.
And he's going to end up on top of the building. We're going to have to talk him down. Like, no, you know, we love you. Your inner beauty is what matters. We can't circle that. Like, no, but he's a guy, though. He's going to help them. Like, you know, he can help them in a game. Like, he can come in and make 2 threes.
I really thought it was going to be a nothing transaction when they signed him. And he does, like, I agree, he does actually look like he could help them in the playoffs.
It's already been a net positive. Yeah. You know, 100%. They like him in the locker room. He's, like, you know, a fun guy. He fits in well with, like, the team. And then, you know, I think the same thing can be said about Granger. He's a guy he's going to fit in. I mean, everybody loves that guy.
Right.
Like, everything you hear about Danny Granger is how good of a person he is, how good he's, how well he handled everything. And, you know, he's a guy, again, like, in the first half, last night, I think he had 6 or 8 points or something like that in his stretch. Just kind of, not even like by like creating his own offense, he got to the foul line one time, but kind of just being in the right place to get a couple rebounds. The issue is, like, when you watch him, is so far at least, is I haven't really seen him like plant and explode.
Right.
And like, you know, that's the thing that I think you worry about is, like, you know, where's his kind of, did he lose his athleticism? And you hope not, but who knows? I mean, like, this is still, I think, really kind of the test to where we'll know what Danny Granger is the next 3 years is going to be next season, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like another offseason to rehab it, another offseason to strengthen the knee, and then going forwards, if he's good, he can maybe have, like, an interesting kind of second chapter, like, sort of Vince Carter-ish. Maybe.
Yeah. I think there are two paths for him, where he's either Brandon Roy or he's Vince Carter. I think the Vince Carter call is really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had the same injury.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
that's the same, the jumper's knee.
Right.
An injury I've never had to worry about.
No, I've definitely had sitting knee before, where it just, like, you sit too long and it swells up. Yeah.
I had sauntering knee.
Yeah, sauntering knee is that's a career killer.
Yeah, no, that's I haven't strolled the same.
No.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at on it. I mean, those guys I think can help, and I think Turkoglu, Figueroa, is a guy that he's going to help them offensively in the game. And there's no question in my mind that you're going to be watching the Clippers and down the stretch of a game. He's not going to be in the fourth quarter or anything like that. He's going to have moments in, like, it's not going to be at the end of the fourth quarter. He's going to have moments where he's going to play 2 or 3 productive minutes.
Right.
And really, that's the expectations for those guys.
Yeah, you're not...
Do more than that.
Yeah, you're not asking them to win you games. It's just win you small stretches in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I think that's the difference is, oh, you sign that guy and you expect him to play 30 minutes a night. Well, that's a terrible mistake, but you sign that guy and you say, hey, I need you to finish out the third quarter strong tonight. Like, that's a very reachable goal.
Yeah. Very, very well put there.
Thank you. I can talk a little bit when I need to.
Talk hoops.
Right? It sounds like these guys can help them. You know what can help you build a website? Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com is bringing the podcast to you today. You can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. Dan, do you know about the internet? Have you heard that?
I've been on it.
There are websites. If you were to build your website through Squarespace,
you would hire a contractor, right?
That's what you would think. You would hire a general contractor. That's not the case anymore. You sign up for Squarespace. They give you this incredible platform with new features, new designs, the best support that you can possibly imagine. They have over 100 Squarespace employees located in New York. That's America, my friend. New York is America.
New York.
You get American support. That the customer care team is so good that they're literally nicknamed the Care Bear Lair.
Who says that? So take that, Clint Eastwood. We still build things in America.
Yeah, we still build things. Exactly. We build websites.
That's a deep reference, by the way. That happened 2 years ago.
We support them. They support you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dan, if you had to guess how much it would cost to build and maintain a website for the next...
$29,000.
For the next year, you would guess $29,000, right? I mean, I would guess 24,000 minimum, but I guess it depends on the market and what you're using it for. But sure,
right, $1.
Right. Well, hold on, go up a little bit. Just if you sign up now, sign up for a year, you're going to get a free domain name, and it's okay. It's $8 a month. What can you get for $8 a month these days? Literally nothing. Not a single thing you can get for $8 a month.
Other than Netflix, maybe.
Maybe Netflix. Even then, I think they're taxes. Taxes and fees that are going to push you over nine. $8 a month. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience. Look it on your iPhone, look it on your iPad, look it on your laptop, your desktop. Any kind of screen that can get the internet, look at it. It looks great. You can start a free trial with no credit card required. Start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports. Use the offer code FUN. That's FUN. That's going to get you an extra 10% off. And you show your support for the Ion Basketball Podcast. We thank Squarespace for their support of the podcast because it's everything you need to create an exceptional website.
I think that was probably one of your best reads ever.
I feel like it was. Yeah, I felt like
I'm
had.
I'm also going to say that I'm going to move my website over from Angel Fire now.
Do you think that how many websites do you think still exist with thanks to Angel Fire?
I don't know. Well, I was trying to think of the other ones. There was
GeoCities.
GeoCities.
GeoCities is $29,000 a year, for certain. I don't recommend GeoCities. I definitely recommend Squarespace. I want to talk to you about Blake Griffin.
Yes.
Why does he only dunk? That's what I hear.
Why does he only win Player of the Month in February, which I think is the shortest month, if I'm correct?
Other than that.
There was the All-Star break.
Yeah, other than Smarch. Smarch is probably the shortest month.
Like, go win it in, like, January, a real month, like 30 days.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's been funny. Like, those jokes, like, don't even land as good anymore because everybody loves Blake Griffin now.
They have to, right? He's so good.
I know. He's watching him kind of grow over this, the last 3 years. It's been a fun process because I feel like I was kind of in on him early.
Yes.
In terms of, I thought he was really good. Yeah. I've always thought he was really, really good. And not just kind of a jumping novelty, you know, a jumping car selling novelty. He's been a guy whose personality has changed, the way he's approached the locker room and leadership over the course of so when I first started covering the team, he was a guy who could be really, really goofy, would kind of not hesitate to give like a sarcastic answer in an interview,
right.
And stuff like that. And then the second year I covered the team, he made a concerted effort to be more serious, okay? So he was very serious. He wasn't as goofy, like not nearly as much fun, and you know, it wasn't him. You know, so he's found this kind of like professional balance where he can still be himself, same time, like while incorporating elements of like, you know, this is business and I need to be serious. And so I think he's earned more respect in the locker room because of that. I think that on the court, the way Doc Rivers has used him, by essentially turning him into this like transition monster, you know, this face up, like dribble around guys,
right.
And really, when you need a basket to run offense through him, he's put so much trust in him, and Blake's responded. You know, this is the easy kind of narrative is to say that the Chris Paul injury was good for them because it allowed Blake to step up, and it was, but this was coming anyway. This was coming before that too.
Yeah,
and,
he was already improving pretty severely. Right before that.
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, there's still steps and there's still holes in his game for sure that
Certainly. He's
going to address. The jump shot isn't as good as it could be. I think the you heard it here first thing is eventually he's going to be a three-point shooter.
Ooh.
He's going to stretch defenses and shoot threes like Bosch or Ibaka. Like, that's going to happen. And he's going to be pretty good at it, I think, long term. Because when he, you know, watching him work with his shooting coach, Bob Tate, the guy who kind of turned Jason Kidd into a credible three-point shooter, which was not a small feat.
No, not at all. That,
no, like, I put that right at the top of your resume if you're Bob Tate. You know, watching him work with Blake, you know, you can see the improvements. And you can see, and you, like, you hear the stories about how hard Blake Griffin works. Like, that's never been, he's not a guy that, you know, takes the basketball part of this lightly. He's a worker. He works probably almost too hard. You know, as a guy who's too focused and, you know, working out multiple times a day. He'll go to practice. He'll do some with his trainer and stuff like that. I mean, he's going to, it's still going to get better. And that's kind of the scary thing, I guess. Is like, I don't know what his ceiling is anymore.
Yeah, he is someone where I thought before, like, because I was not big on him coming out of Oklahoma. Like, I knew he was a fun athlete, but I didn't think much of him as a player. I also didn't really pay attention to him until his last year, or like the last like 2 months of right before he came out. And so I just wasn't that big on him. I knew he was going to be number one pick, didn't have a problem with it, but just didn't really care. And then his first year, he's so fun. Or his first year of playing, he's so fun. And just was all about that. And then towards the end of his second year, I was like, this guy's actually really good. Like, this is a guy that can be a top 15 to 20 player in the league. And then last year, like, the backlash was so incredible against him, I just didn't get it. I was like, I don't know, I'm watching this guy, and he seems like he has a lot of tools that he can use and that he's improving. And I was like, I think he could get to, like, a top 10, top 12 player. And now, after this year, I'm like, in 2 years, if this guy is a top 5 player, like, that's not going to shock me. Like, he's that good.
Like, top 3, maybe, even?
I think, like, yeah, I guess it depends on who you think has a higher ceiling between him and Paul George.
Like Paul George.
Yeah, like, I think Paul George is that. Or even, like, I know Nate Jones is big on this on Twitter right now, and I agree with him. Like, Dwight Howard is once again a top 5 player in the league. Like, he's been fantastic this year. So maybe you can, depending on how good Dwight's prime is, like, maybe he's battling for that as well. But yeah, like, those three guys, like, could shape out your top 5 next year, right? Or in 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, here are the things that Blake can get better at still. Is like, you know, he's going to still get better at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be a guy, like, he's still not even shooting him the way that he's supposed to, or the way that he does in practice. Like, he's still working towards that. So that's, you know, that might be 2 points a night, we'll say, an improved free throw shooting. He's a guy who's going to make more jumpers. Like, I think there's no question that he's going to be a better mid-range shooter in the future. Like, you know, when you watch him shoot in rhythm, it looks good. Like, he looks like a shooter.
Yeah.
And then, I think eventually he'll occasionally even pick and pop a little bit, which is, like, I don't know how you guard them then if he's a real pick and pop threat.
Right.
You know, so your choices are, I mean, I guess that they stay the same. You know, you don't want to get dunked on, so you're going to sag in the lane. But, like, if he's going to consistently punish teams with a jump shot, you know, and then he's going to, you know, I don't know how much better he's going to get defensively. That's the kind of the, you know, he's not a very, very good defender.
Yeah, well, I think what I like out of his defense.
He can be engaged, though.
Yeah, what I like out of his defense is I've seen him challenge shots a lot more this year than he has in the past. Because in the past, it's like, he's this incredible athlete. Why isn't he going to try to, like, at least be like a early Serge Ibaka, where he's just jumping at everything and trying to, you know, swat things into the stands and stuff. But this year, it does seem like he's like, all right, I need to get over there. I need to at least challenge that. You know, he's not blocking shots, but it does seem like to be more of a mindset that he's adopting.
Well, and I think he's getting smarter too defensively. Like, there was a possession at the end of the game on Sunday against Phoenix, which was a fun game. I don't know if you guys
know. Yeah, that was really good.
Possible playoff series too.
Yeah.
Which could be a good series. Where he got switched out onto Dragic like 50 seconds to go, and Phoenix had to score. They were down 5. Like, it was like they needed a bucket, really. And so Blake did everything right in that position. Like, he totally got beat off the dribble. Like, he's gonna get beat off the dribble by Goran Dragic. But he stayed kind of on his left shoulder, so he forced him right, which is what you want to do in that situation, and he funneled him right to DeAndre Jordan. And, you know, Jordan came over in rotation, blocked the shot. And if we're talking about things that the Clippers, like, yeah, I mean, the Clippers just hung, you know, 148 points, I think, or something like that last night. You know, their offense is, like, I'm not worried about their offense.
No.
But this is now the Laker game, the Phoenix game. They beat New Orleans in this stretch, Houston. I'm forgetting somebody else. And the Suns. Like, there's good offenses in there, like, really good offenses. And they've been kind of good defensively, like, sneaky good defensively over the last six games.
And they're, I mean, I know some of it is skewed because of, like, foul rates or, you know, turnovers being forced and stuff because they do play a bit of a chaotic style. But they are a top 10 defense this year, you know? Like, it's one of those defenses where it's kind of like the Timberwolves where the numbers look good overall, but you can find the holes of why it might not work in the playoffs.
100%.
But overall, it is good. And they're actually, in terms of, like, net rating, they're tied with the Thunder now for the best net rating in the league. Now, last night's game certainly skewed that quite a bit, right? a 48-point win will do that. But that's still, like, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think you touched on something interesting when you talk about their defensive ratings. So, Doc Rivers, like, early in the year, like, kind of, I mean, even when they were a top 10 defense, pretty much said, we're not a top 10 defense. We're just not. Our numbers are inflated.
Right.
We're not as good as they suggest. Over this little winning streak that they're on right now, I would say that their numbers, like, they look like a top 10 defense to me. Maybe even a little better. You know, strangely enough, Doc said, and I agree with this, is it started in that Sunday game in Oklahoma City, where I think it was like a 119-112 win or something like that, which is kind of a weird game to point at and say, wow, we played really good defense. But they were in the right spots against the Thunder. You know, and Oklahoma City made some really, really tough shots in that game. You know, yeah, Derek Fisher got loose, which is a fun thing to say in 2014. And
I really expected that to be like, in 2014, I expected that to be like some kind of lockout talk.
Like, I know, right? you know, he's just, you know, just doing push-ups too. That's how he gets ready. You know, when he goes on TV, he's got to do like...
Oh, yeah. Well, his arms are just beautifully sculpted. Really underrated part of his game. He has great arms.
Yeah. Biceps are super important to playing basketball. But, like, you know, that was the game where kind of things seemed like they clicked in defensively.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can be this consistent defensively, they're going to score points. Even though that they're still kind of a weird, flawed offense to the extent where, you know, they're not a good three-point shooting team. The numbers really don't suggest it. Like, they're average. You know, they were down in the 27th, I think, at one point, like a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Before they started to shoot a little bit better. And when you look at their roster, the feeling was they're going to make threes at some point. They've got guys who've done it their whole career, you know? So, I don't know. I think my feeling on them over this last week or so is sort of, you know, it's cemented in my mind. This is a team that's it's a real contender. It's every bit the contender that, you know, the Houston Rockets are, or the Spurs. Like, they're in that class, and it's just going to be, honestly, who gets lucky and who's playing the best basketball this last week.
Yeah, I think that I'm coming around to them. I was kind of down on them as a contender just because it was, who's their third big man? You know, Byron Mullins, Anton Jameson, Ryan Hollins. I just looked at that and, like, that's just not going to, even for 8 minutes in the playoffs, like, that's just not going to work.
Yeah.
But the big baby signing, he is a legitimate rotation big for a title contender. Like, I really believe that. And you know, if they can get him ingrained, like, it won't be hard because he's played for Doc before, but if they can just get him used to everybody by the time the, you know, second round comes, like, that's a really damn good rotation of guys, especially with all of the wing depth they have. I mean, they can really throw a lot of different looks at you depending on the matchup. And
yeah.
I'm not completely sold on them. Like, me personally, I wouldn't put them with San Antonio, but I definitely put them with Houston, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's a healthy Oklahoma City team, the Spurs, and then everybody else. Well, not everybody else, but, you know, then that next tier of, like, Houston, the Clippers, maybe the Warriors, but they still have a lot of things to iron out the next month. But I am coming around to the idea of, like, all right, this Clippers team is pretty damn good and pretty damn, like, playoff good.
Yeah, and they're still, like, we talk about, like, ceiling with Blake Griffin and stuff, and, like, I still, and I don't know if we'll get to see it because of the Redick injuries, but, like, we don't, like, the ceiling on this team, too, is so high, because if you add, like, kind of Doc's defensive principles and a team that's bought in defensively with kind of just the talent that they have, you know, they've got a guy who can score in the low post. They've got a big man who protects the rim and who runs the floor like crazy. They've got the best point guard in the NBA. They've got, you know, a guy doing Ray Allen type stuff in J.J. Redick. They've got this, you know, all these wings that they can throw at you. They've got maybe the best six man in the NBA.
Yeah.
I think for me it's probably going to come down to him or Taj Gibson.
Is he gonna start too many games? What's the cutoff? It's like 30, right?
I think it's half.
Is it? Oh, okay. Maybe that's true.
And, you know, this being out this stretch could help that.
Yeah.
He really should. That's
being injured has helped his six-man candidacy.
Yeah, it's so stupid. he's a guy, like, I saw something today on Sheridan Hoops, for instance, that had their six-man rankings, and he wasn't in the top five. To me, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's got to just be a thing of they don't think he's qualified as a six-man, right? Because if he...
No, but he was in the honorable mention.
Oh, well, that's just stupid, then. No offense to them, but, like, that's crazy to me.
Blake Griffin obviously gets a lot of credit for kind of the way the Clippers handled the Chris Paul injury because of how he stepped up. But Jamal Crawford during that stretch was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was incredible.
And, you know, he was a guy, too, like, talking about taking the seven, it's crazy, and Jamal's super proud of this. He's a guy that feels like at this point in his career, he's still getting better. And that, you know, this summer he came in and he 100% said it. And I don't know if I rolled my eyes at it or not, but, you know, he came in and said, this is the best that I'm ever going to be. That, you know, I've worked and I've added more to my game.
Yeah.
And he's been really, really good for them as a guy who could, you know, he's a difference maker. And
it's crazy. He's what, like 32?
Yes.
But it's funny because, like, the first, I don't know, like 7 years of his career were so chaotic that I do wonder how much, like, actual coaching he got to become a better player. So I actually do believe that even though he's 32, like, he could be getting better. Like, he's actually getting coaching now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. I also think a lot of it is just, like, this is a guy who just plays all the time.
Right.
You know, when he's, I mean, he's like basketball, he's basketball and family, you know, and like that's really all he does, you know, and he'll listen to music too.
Yeah.
Maybe watch a little TV, tune into some movies in there. But this is a guy, you know, he runs the summer league in Seattle. You know, he's constantly bringing players through there. Durant and Blake Griffin both played in it last year.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get up there this summer, hopefully.
I would love to go up there and check it out because it seems like one of the better pro-ams.
Yeah, and it's funny, talking to him, I'm working on a big piece about him, and one of the things he told me was that, you know, if you watch him play now and you think he's flashy, like you should have seen him in high school. That, like, the stuff he used to do in high school games.
Does he have footage of this?
You can find some stuff on it. The one thing he told me he used to do in high school games all the time was, like, you know how, like, guys, like, will walk up the court and sometimes they'll just dribble between their legs?
Yeah.
for no reason. He would do that backwards. Just in games. You know, whatever.
Yeah, why not?
And then, like, spin out of it and then just try to cross somebody and you know, do some crazy stuff. But, like, he, you know, he's a guy, though, that I think, for them, is super underrated this year. He's been, like I said, he's been, I don't want to say he's in a net positive on defense, but he's been better.
Yeah, I don't think he's killing you on defense.
No, he hasn't. And he's been a guy who's played good team defense.
Right.
And that's really, I mean, well, good is maybe strong. He's a guy who's been effective at times in team defense. He's a guy who's been effective at times helping, you know, crash the boards instead of just running down the offense. Like, he's helped them a lot. You know, I think that's, like, that's what it's going to take. And I think that's usually the difference between when we're talking about, you know, the Thunder, the Spurs, the Heat, the Pacers. It's like, you've got the guys that you expect your production from, you know? But it's what are those players 3 through 7 on your roster do that I think really determine how far you're going to go this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. What was a harder player to say goodbye to, Byron Mullins or Steven Jackson?
Byron is a super nice guy. Steven okay. Jackson's a super nice guy, too, which is, like, I don't know. Like, here would be the Steven Jackson thing, I would say. It's considering all the stuff that's happened in his life, okay,
yeah.
As an NBA player, all the off-the-court stuff, the views kind of as being a distraction. He keeps getting chances. And that happens for two reasons. One, he's talented. And two, people like him. Like, people like him as, like, a person. And which, so he's a nice guy. Byron, I don't know. I thought Byron was going to help him this year, which is crazy in hindsight. Because they gave up on him so fast.
Yeah.
They just didn't see it. But, I mean, when you talk about, like, their third bigs or whatever, that the way the roster was constructed originally, it was going
to
be him.
Yeah, compared to the competition for minutes, like, it didn't, I mean, I would have guessed that he would have been the third big, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, Doc ended up going small and trying some other stuff. But, you know, I thought he was a guy who was just going to get wide open threes all the time. You know, and you just got to shoot. If he'd shot 40% on those, then he'd been great. But the problem is, like, he obviously didn't. And, you know, he was a guy, though, again, didn't pout, good presence in the locker room, you know, and he really, really enjoyed. Did you see that local Super Bowl commercial from, like, the lawyer?
No.
I think his name's, like, Jamie Cassino.
I don't think I did. Wait, is this the one? Is this the one where he's, like, hunting for his, like, brother's murder or something like that?
Yes.
Yes, I did see that.
Okay. Byron loved that.
Okay.
Like, loved it. And as he should. It was, like, one of the greatest things ever. Like,
yeah.
I cannot believe it was real. And, yeah, so he's a good guy. And, you know, it's same with Antoine. Like, those guys were all, you know, they weren't complaining. You know, they all had opportunities to grouse about not playing and not being in rhythm and stuff like that. You know, because they've got pride and they wanted to play and they wanted to help, but, you know, it never happened. They knew what they signed up for.
Right. Before I let you go, I do have to thank you on the podcast. I know I've thanked you publicly. I enjoyed Pitch Perfect.
Yes,
not as I would. I'm not a guy that enjoys singing in movies.
Really?
I'm not a musical guy. Like, there's, like, Little Shop of Horrors I like.
Hey, what about the South Park movie?
All right, I like South Park, but it's never something I seek out. I enjoyed the movie, it was good in the movie, but it's never, I'm not someone who is a huge, like, I'm never going to pretend to be a huge fan of South Park. I enjoy it when I see it, but I would never set the DVR for it.
Okay. I can live with that.
Yeah. But, like, musicals and stuff, like, I'm just not into, and, like, I watched a couple episodes of Glee, and I just didn't like it. It wasn't for me. But this was really enjoyable, and I don't like Anna Kendrick, and I still enjoyed it.
I know. That's the crazy thing. So, did you notice during the Oscars? You watched the Oscars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you notice when she came out, they played the cup, like...
Yes! Yeah, I noticed that.
The orchestra played the song.
That was pretty great.
Yeah, no. So, that movie, and to the listeners who haven't seen it, you guys are all crazy.
Yes.
It is so undeniably pleasant.
Very pleasant.
And the writer of the movie who wrote the screenplay, I think her name's Kay Cannon, worked on 30 Rock, so it has that kind of like Mean Girls, kind of quick, like Tina Fey school of comedy, like where it's like quick biting jokes.
Yes.
And like there's stuff in like for instance, like you would see that movie, you think, oh, this is like such a nice little family film. Like there's stuff in it, like I would never want to watch that movie with my parents. Right, I wouldn't want to explain some of the jokes.
Right.
You know, like it would be uncomfortable. Yeah, it's good. And like it was one of those things I worried I might have oversold it a little bit to you.
You did. I mean, you were. I was ready to buy a timeshare. That's how much you sold that movie.
Yeah. I pushed.
You definitely pushed, yeah.
And it's one of those things like, I think that movie is like a solid B+, A- movie.
Yeah.
And it's considering my expectations for it when I first saw it were so low. Like I saw it on a date with my girlfriend. She picked it out. This was me like kind of saying, okay, like you sat through, you know, The Dictator with me in the movie theater. You
oh,
sat
God.
Through like we went and saw Matinee of Bruno or like, you know, like. All these movies that you didn't want to see, like,
right.
I'll go see something that you pick out. And I don't know how much she liked it. I feel like she did. I wasn't paying attention. I was fixated on how awesome the movie was. And I loved it. I was very happy. And now it's to the point where when it's on television, I will stop and watch it.
I have.
It has entered that zone.
Yeah, I have tuned in a couple of times no matter where it is in the movie. Just as like pleasant background noise for when I'm writing.
Oh yeah, like and the performance. There's one huge plot hole though in that movie. Spoiler alert.
The puking.
But well, no, that's one huge esophagus hole. For me, their performance is like 3 minutes longer than everybody else's at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they purport to show like the entire performances of you know like two or three different teams in the finals. And their performance is like a good 10-minute mashup.
Right.
And like, you know, I mean, really, if space and time doesn't matter, then yeah, I guess they were the best. But, you know, but there are rules.
Right. There are strict rules in these singing competitions. You and I both know that.
Yes. Very, very important stuff.
Right.
And so, anyway... My new movie recommendation for you is, again, a similar kind of thing, a movie I was, I don't want to say forced into watching, but like where I had given up control of the remote control, something I don't really do, and I end up watching a movie called Warm Bodies.
Okay.
A zombie movie. A teenage zombie movie.
Now, is this like a parody of like the Vampire Suck crowd?
No.
Okay.
No, this is trying to be a movie.
Okay, good.
This is people put effort into this, I think, and it is to describe the plot. It follows a zombie, and he can't speak out loud, but you hear his monologue.
Okay.
And it's the kid from About a Boy, all grown up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it took me really long to figure out who he is. John Malkovich is in it.
Oh, all right. Now that is a great selling point. I love Malkovich.
Yeah, and there's an excellent love story. Your lady will like it. There's Rob Corddry's in it.
Oh, I love Rob Corddry.
Yeah. So this is again a real movie, and it's clever, and I like. It's going to be one of those things that if you push back on it, I'm probably going to make it seem better than it actually is.
Oh, I do. I did. You told me about this on, I think, on Twitter. Maybe you text me. And like a week or two ago. And I have set up, I think it actually records this weekend. Like maybe it records tomorrow. So
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's
so exciting. So I will watch it. I will have watched it at least by Monday night. I guarantee that.
Okay. Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I was so impressed with Pitch Perfect that I can't, like, you've built up so much credit now that I can't, like, I can't put off these recommendations until you screw up. Now, if you screw up with this one, then you know, this is going to be a couple of weeks now next time until I watch the next movie.
It's one of those things, like, and this is the people that are in my life that care about me are super annoyed by this. Like, I take recommendation, like, recommending stuff very seriously. Like, I think my taste is, like, impeccable.
Okay.
Like, to the point where, like, I'm so conceited about my, like, pop culture taste. Like, the music I listen to, the TV I watch, the movies I watch, that, like, I get almost upset if, like, people don't take my advice on stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That would explain a lot of the selling you did on Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, it is a huge, huge personality flaw that I have. So I am always, like, honestly, when you posted, I want to say, like, a month ago on Twitter that you were starting something new on Netflix.
Yeah.
I was half, like, insulted that you just didn't text me. Like, that you took it to Twitter. That, like, the real answer was, like, right here all along. Like, I could have given you 5 or 6 great TV shows.
Okay, so what would you have suggested if I say I need something to watch on Twitter? Or I need to watch on Netflix?
Okay, so I would have said, I think the first thing I would have tried to figure out is if you've seen Arrested Development or not.
Yeah, I have. Watched it all.
Okay. Okay, so I would say that would have been where I would have started.
Okay.
One of probably my favorite television comedy of all time, I think.
Yes.
I love Arrested Development. Then I would have said, okay, if you liked Arrested Development, you know, what about, have you seen Orange is the New Black?
I've not seen that yet.
Okay. Really good. Again, good story. Kind of like a, like, not like Arrested Development necessarily, but, like, I think similar in the sense that it's a little off kilter in terms of the sense of humor. I would suggest, 30 Rock. As a show that if you've never gone cover to cover on 30 Rock.
I did that. I actually did that last year.
Okay, that 30 Rock is tremendous.
It's really good. And it's really rewatchable, and you can get sucked in to a 6-7 episode binge pretty easily.
You know, I think that, you know, history might end up, like, judging The Office as, like, the show that people liked more.
Yeah.
Over that stretch, I think 30 Rock was a better show.
I think the first, like, 2-3 seasons of The Office were really good, and then it was still good, but 30 Rock kept building, whereas The Office just maintained.
Like, the live episodes of 30 Rock are so funny.
They're so good. And really, like,
John Hamm and the live episodes of 30 Rock.
And
is, like,
and the I really enjoyed the Elizabeth Banks Alec Baldwin relationship.
Yes.
As that went
Super
on,
good.
It was really good. Really, like, one of my favorite storylines of that show.
And Scott Scotsman from Scottsdale.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, yeah, it's awesome. So I would have recommended that.
Okay.
If you're looking into more like really good dramas, on, you know, I Lost would have been on my list. Lost is an important
okay, so,
like, an important show.
So we're okay with me going through Lost.
Yeah, I mean, like, have you gone through, like, the HBO shows?
I need to watch True Detective. I haven't watched that. I'm not a Game of Thrones guy. I watched the first episode on HBO Go, and I was like, okay, I like this, but I'm definitely not hooked. Like, that would have to be something, like, in the summer. Maybe I'll binge watch it.
Do you when you watch HBO Go, are you watching it on a computer or are you watching it on a TV?
I watch it on my iPad.
Okay. You should invest. Again, I'm giving you advice. You better take it. You should buy Apple TV.
I have it. I have Apple TV.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, so you can watch HBO Go on there, I think.
Oh, yeah, you can. Okay.
Okay. Like, Game of Thrones is, like, a show best enjoyed. In the, I don't like fantasy shows at all.
Yeah, see, really, I'm not into that kind of thing.
I really like Game of Thrones, though.
Okay. All right, I'll give it another run. Like,
a lot of violence, a lot of nudity.
I accidentally turned to an episode once, or maybe I had been watching something on DVR, and so once I was done with that, it was already, like, halfway through an episode, and it might have been, like, it's a few seasons in, so I had no idea who the people were. I just know that there was a scene where there was some, let's just say, heavy petting, And then in the next in the next scene, you found out that it was like the dude's sister, and that that really bothered me. Because I knew nothing about that show. All I knew was the only thing I knew about it was there was incest, and incest makes me unbelievably uncomfortable, as it should any normal person.
I was gonna say you're going out on all.
This is a hot life take, but but I'm not about that incest life for sure. The only incest I've ever mildly enjoyed, and stay with me on this because this isn't actual incest, is Gossip Girl, where like the step kids are like kind of enjoying each other.
Well, what about Arrested Development, the cousins?
I mean, I enjoy that from a comedic standpoint, but it didn't make me uncomfortable because they're not like banging, you know?
Okay. I feel like, I'm going to guess that Cruel Intentions is not one of your favorite movies.
I'll watch it. It's fine, but it makes me a little uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable? Yeah, a little?
That's quite uncomfortable.
That's one of those movies that, from that era of film, that's like, it's so overly stylized.
Yes.
Like first of all, like, I feel like that's almost like a Gossip Girl, like, prequel.
Yeah. That's a good call. Have you seen Gossip Girl?
The same world. I've watched some of it. Again, mostly with my girlfriend. That would have been a show I would have told you to watch. Chuck on Netflix.
Okay, I've never seen Chuck. Will you take a recommendation from me?
Yes, let's hear it.
Watch Gossip Girl front to back. I was against it. I was coerced into watching it, and I really got into it. I really enjoyed it. There are a couple of seasons that kind of dive down a little bit, but like the whole story arc of the show throughout, I think it's like six or seven seasons. Like, it's actually a really good show.
Okay. Have you seen like The Sopranos?
I've never seen The Sopranos.
Okay.
I've seen the last episode.
Okay. Well, you should start at the beginning. It's not like a magazine, Zach.
That's literally the only episode I've ever seen is the last one, because it was such a big moment in pop culture that I was like, well, crap, if everyone's talking about it, I need to at least know a little bit of what happened.
Yeah, start at the beginning.
Okay.
The Sopranos is like, I mean, it's one of the great TV dramas.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's in the class with like The Wire, with Breaking Bad for me and Mad Men.
Okay.
They're kind of like the great ones. Yeah. But, yeah, no, so anybody, if you're still listening to this, also, I want to say hi, Mom and Dad, because you're probably the only people left. And
oh, crap, are your parents going to listen to this?
I hope not.
Oh, God.
And then the rest of this, I would say, they don't know how to podcast. They don't know how to listen to a podcast.
Right. Right.
Seriously, true story real quick about my dad and how lucky we are that we know how to use computers. I sent him a link once in an email to something. And he had no idea what to do with it.
Let me share also a technology dad story. I'm pretty sure my dad thinks LOL means lots of love, because he has texted me things before of like, oh, you know, like after I moved to Minnesota, he would text me something like, oh, really miss you, LOL. And I'm like, what? Why are you laughing at missing me? So it clicked. I've never asked him about it because I don't want to embarrass him, and he has no idea how to listen to a podcast, so it won't matter anyway. But I'm pretty sure he thinks it means lots of love.
It's adorable. That's really, really funny.
Yeah, he's the greatest guy in the world. Like he's my hero. Like he's seriously the greatest guy, and it like that little factoid about him like endears me even more to him.
Yeah, no. For my is it Father's Day? I feel like this should be.
Oh yeah, I'll repost this one on Father's Day.
No, my favorite thing to do with my dad is watch old reruns of like The Match Game on Game Show Network and just yell at Gene Rayburn and be like, seriously, just like, yell at Charles Elson Reilly, like, and they treated Nipsey Russell so horribly.
Oh, they really. There was some really overt racism with Nipsey Russell.
No,
that is uncomfortable.
I know. Yeah, and it's like, you know, we just sit there and we just yell at the Game Show Network. And honestly, that's one of my favorite things to do with my father.
Can I tell you one of my favorite things to do online now is just watch old Supermarket Sweep episodes and live tweet them? Someone sent me a page that has hundreds of these episodes. And
okay, can you email that? You're going to have to forward that.
Absolutely. I'll send it to you as soon as we're done. It's it's my favorite thing to do because it's so 90s, and they just make the worst decisions, and you can just yell at them and make fun of them, and it's the perfect viewing experience for Twitter. It's really
so cool. Wait, so real quick on Supermarket Sweep, turkeys and diapers.
Turkeys, diapers, coffee, hams. Those
baby
are
form.
Baby formula. Is huge. Yeah, it's like $13 for baby formula or something like that.
Yeah. There's a show on Food Network now, a Guy Fieri show, that has like a little Supermarket Sweep element to it. And every time I see it, it's super disappointing. Well, because it's the Guy Fieri show. But also because it's not as good as Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah. And really, everybody, I appreciate the effort, but save me with your Shop Till You Drop. But what about Shop Till You Drop? Like, Shop Till You Drop is fine, but this is watching the Miami Heat and then saying, hey, you should check out the Bucks tonight. Like, that's just, there's entertainment value, but it's not the same.
I feel like Shop Till You Drop is sort of like Supermarket Sweep's, like kind of like underachieving cousin that like smokes too much pot.
Right.
And like, you know, just doesn't really motivated. Like, it's not like whatever. Like, you got a good heart.
Yeah, like you know, they're never really gonna have health insurance.
never
gonna have it.
That would be a really good item to buy in Supermarket.
No, because it would take too long to get the website to load.
All right. Hey now.
Hey, that was a topical joke. Well, topical like a month ago. Do you want to talk more television, or do you have to go? We're well over an hour, but what the hell?
Yeah, we can talk more. I mean, I think like game shows for me. I've never really like aspired to write a book.
Okay.
And one of the book ideas that I had in college was to quit everything I do for a year and just try to be on game shows.
Okay.
And so my old boss. When I first moved to California, I'll give him a plug, USCfootball.com on the Rivals Network. We went one morning to The Price is Right with a group of people for someone's 30th birthday. And we took a party bus down, you know, had fun. It was really early in the morning. When you go to The Price is Right in a big group, there's some sort of like, I don't know if it's an implicit guarantee, but there's an implied guarantee that somebody is going to get a chance to play.
Right.
Okay, so if you go with a group of like 8 or 9, like one person's going to get called. And that one person from our group was my former boss. And he I don't know if he went exact, if he got the exact price or not on his item to like win his game. But he got up, he played the yodeling game.
Oh.
He won that.
Okay.
He won that. He hit the dollar on the wheel.
Holy crap.
Hit the like the green five, so he won more money, and then he won the showcase.
Did he just retire? I would have just retired.
The funny thing is, like, it was essentially, other than the cash, it was just a giant inconvenience. like the one thing that like he won, I hope I didn't sound like a non-disclosure agreement or something. The one thing that he won was like, so the prizes that they have, they don't always actually have the prizes.
Of course not. Why would you?
Okay. Yeah, right? So, like, he won a TV. He won, like, a 50-inch TV. They don't actually, like, they didn't actually have a TV to give him. They gave him the cash value of the TV.
Okay.
You know? So that's good. Like, except you have to pay taxes on all this stuff right away. But, like, he won, like, a six-person hot tub. Like, he has a condo in Hermosa Beach, like, a small... Like, there's no room for, unless it was like Coming to America and he just put it in his living room. There's like no room for his, so he had to sell it.
Okay.
Like, he won a camper. Like, he gave that away. Like, he won furniture, but he had just bought new furniture. You know, so he had to sell that. Like, he had to buy a storage unit.
Oh my God. Like, this is a huge inconvenience.
But I will say, though, it was probably a top three thing I've ever seen in my life. In terms of like exciting moments,
this happened well before I actually met my friend. But my friend's aunt won a boat on The Price is Right.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think she sold it like pretty quickly. But yeah, she won a boat. I think I've seen the episode. Like they have it on tape or something.
Yeah, the fun little And this is a nice little like kind of Easter egg for anybody who's do they still, still exist?
Do DVDs like, still exist? I know they sell them, but I own an unhealthy amount of DVDs, and I can't think of the last time I put one in.
It's bad. So, quick side note: I have this sunk-in coffee table.
Okay.
And what I did was like you usually put like magazines or anything down. And I took like my favorite movies and I arranged them. Almost like some sort of self-made Pinterest project.
Sure.
And it says so much about how much I watch my DVDs, but they're now under a coffee table. It's like a huge inconvenience to get out. But like, I'd rather just look at the cases than actually go up and put a DVD in.
Yeah, it is kind of artistic, right?
It looks good. I'll send you a picture. But no, the last thing I want to tell you about Price is Right. So, embarrassingly enough, so what they do is when you're there, is they tell you when your friends win, they bring you up to the side and say, if you win, you know, you get to go up on stage and celebrate.
Yeah.
And people who know me know that I have a problem with the way that I wear my pants, that occasionally they can drop a little bit and I get a little, like, kind of crisscross sag.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Unintentionally. This is not on purpose. You know, it's a comfort choice.
Okay.
It's not fashion based.
Okay.
So he wins, and I run on stage, right? I go to give him a handshake to like bro hug.
Yeah.
And as I lean in, I'm so excited. I have no idea that my pants are like below cheek. Okay. And I'm leaning over, so like it is like it's a full on, like it's a show, like underwear to the world.
Yeah.
And this happens multiple times in the celebration sequence. to the point where my mother had told people at her church that I was going to be on The Price is Right. This is before I'd done any real things on TV. And so everybody was excited, and she said, oh, it's going to be this day. Look for Danny. He's going to be on TV. And sure enough, she was super upset with me. she told, and it was just like, buy a belt or something like that. That's amazing that I've accomplished anything since then.
Right. That's a highlight of your life for sure.
It was great.
Last thing I want to say about Supermarket Sweep is for a good 6 or 7 year period, the announcer's name is, or they had the announcer for a while. They had two announcers, I think. What was it, Supermarket Sweep? It was something with the host of Supermarket Sweep, but they had, he's worked with this announcer, Randy West, who's like been around forever. But for the longest time, I thought it was the porn star Randy West, which I just thought made him very versatile. Maybe it's not Supermarket Sweep, but I remember like this clicking because of it. But he's a game show announcer, and I really thought it was the porn star for a long time.
Are you positive it's not?
I'd say I'm 65% sure, 70% sure, somewhere in that range.
I have a really good joke about this, but I think I'm saying it.
Is it? All right. I was going to say tell it, and then I'll edit it out if it's not appropriate, but maybe you should just tell me off the air.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. That's really funny. Like, the host of that show had really bad sweaters, from what I remember.
Yes. Supermarkets. Yeah, David Ruprecht, I think is his name.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, really like bad. Really 1990s sweaters, like Home Alone sweaters.
Like post-Cosby?
Yeah, post-Cosby, like really, like stuff you would awkwardly dress on a kid who's on TV.
It's like someone saw the Cosby Show and was like, you know what? We could go further. I think what Bill has on today is a little muted.
Yeah, we could really jazz it up a little bit.
That is, they do look jazzy.
They do.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a simpler time. And another one of my, here's another thing that'll upset you, disillusion you about Hollywood. Do you remember Guts?
Yes.
Okay. I went to a taping of Guts as a child.
Okay.
They do like three at a time.
Oh.
And so like when we went, we saw during the tape, part of the taping that we saw them do like one thing, like where they're in like a kayak, like in like those like bathtub sized pools.
Yes.
Some of it. And they saw it do them like, you watch them do it like three times. And then I think we saw the aggro crack. But like we didn't see the other event, like we didn't see like the basketball shooting.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
Yeah, like it was cut up. Like I don't know like how many days. I had always felt like part of winning guts was like your stamina.
Right.
But like now that you see it on, you know, when you're there, I was super disillusioned by the fact that like I was like, these kids have like, you know, a day to recover.
Yeah, that's kind of awful.
I'm gonna throw this out there too. I was never really all that impressed with anybody who won guts. I felt like I could always have done better.
Yeah, it just felt like if you were mildly coordinated and you didn't have asthma, yeah, you could make it.
Yes.
That's what I felt like. I went to a Craig Kilborn show back when Craig Kilborn was the thing. I went to a taping of his, and his was cut up to where they had like somebody from Survivor on, but that wasn't the same episode that they were taping. So I was really confused about how it went. But then I was indirectly in a sketch in the crowd. They had like a heckler come like replace the guy sitting next to me, and so like I'm like on camera for I don't know like a minute and a half of that Craig Kilborn episode, and like the guy's like heckling Craig and then like looking over at me like, ah, can you believe this guy, and like patting me on the shoulder and stuff like that, like pretending we're buddies.
I think if you had a line, you might have had to join SAG.
Yeah, no, I did a lot of laughing and awkwardly looking up at the monitor to see
nice.
If the I was
background
on
work.
Yeah, so that's you know, it was the start of my career. I don't know. I know we had it on VHS at some point. I could maybe try to find that and then convert it.
When you fly your mom out for your next TV appearance, you'd have her bring that.
I'll have her bring that and then some kind of casserole to be working on.
LOL, Mom.
Yeah. LOL. Well, Dan, this has been just a pleasure. I don't know how many people ended up listening to the end, but I had a great time talking to you. We could follow you on Twitter at Dan Wyke Sports and read you in the Orange County Register.
Yes, you can.
All right.
So do those things.
So I will watch. I will read you. I already follow you, and I will watch Warm Bodies. And please give Gossip Girl a chance. Even with the pseudo incest.
Okay. That's the deal. I probably might not happen during the season.
No. I don't expect it during the season. But
I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm starting Veronica Mars. I've never watched Veronica Mars.
I've never watched it either. Maybe I'll get into that after Lost. I'll do that.
Yeah. So I had to pay for it though.
Oh. Oh, I'm not paying for anything.
Yeah, I bought it. So right. Support your local artists.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right. No problem.